This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio, and I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Some state lawmakers are pledging that action will still be taken this session to reform Milwaukee County's embattled mental health system. Several Republican legislators have said they're fast-tracking a measure that would take control away from the County Board of Supervisors and transfer it to an appointed board of mainly medical and mental health professionals. The bill has support from some Democrats as well. They say the measure is needed to better avoid situations like a December death of a man being held at the complex and an earlier study showing medical care at the center to be lacking. But critics of the bill say it wouldn't take politics out of the equation, but would merely change which politicians have oversight. Chris Abele is Milwaukee County Executive. He spoke with Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke and offered his thoughts on the proposed changes to how mental health care is delivered in the county.
For 3 years, I've been working hard and with the leadership of Hector Colon, our DHHS director, to reform the Behavioral Health Division. I don't think it's a secret to any of your listeners. You know, you have decades of studies talking about what we need to do, which is move towards more community-based care. And for 3 years, even with budgets that started with big deficits, we've still put millions more in the budget to start building capacity for community-based care. And honestly, anything that will allow us to do right by the people we serve and their families sooner and faster is not just something I'm enthusiastic about. It's our moral obligation. We don't get to say we had no idea, decades of studies. And it should be pointed out that by changing the oversight board here to being made up instead of elected officials to medical professionals, that's not making us an outlier. We are an outlier. Right now, we're the only one comprised of entirely elected officials. This is just bringing us in line with, kind of what best practice is everywhere. I don't think it's a particularly ideological thing. Every blue state in the country does this. Every state in the country except for us. Dane County is a nationally well-respected model, and that's the direction we want to head in. And so I'm excited about it.
Is there any way to completely eliminate politics from the oversight process? I mean, some people would say that this takes the political oversight out of the hands of the county board. But at some level, there is still political oversight in who gets to appoint the community-based mental health professional and medical professional-based board.
Sure, to some degree. I mean, I think that the thing to be looking at is the outcome for the people we're serving. And I'll start by just looking at the organizations that provide this service effectively. And the good news for Milwaukee, if the bad news is we've waited a long time to do what the rest of the country does here and how they provide service, the good news is we have no shortage of models to look at for what does work. And what we're doing is moving towards a model that resembles the one that do work, oversight by medically licensed professionals. So there's still checks and balances by people who understand the fields, the management of hospitals, mental illness, et cetera. So I think it's a good thing.
It's hard to remove politics entirely. There are some who say that this looks like a positive step, but it needs to be vetted more than is likely to happen in an election year.
Sure. I suppose so. I guess my concern about that is the families and the consumers at the Behavioral Health Division have been waiting for 30 years. It is not the case that we just discovered we need to move to a better model. This has been pointed out in study after study after study for decades. So when people say we're moving too fast, I guess I ask for whom? Certainly not for the families and the consumers. What is too soon? And importantly, it's not the case that if this bill passes, I will do – in all cases, if it passes, if it doesn't pass, I'm still going to do everything I can and work as hard as I can to improve care for the people we serve. That's our moral obligation. In all cases, I will still continue to look for anything I can do, legislative or otherwise, to improve our ability to provide the service. I'm less concerned about who gets credit or what sort of the political implications are than I am with delivering quality service that impacts people's lives. We've got to get out of the business of the institutionalized care where you've got people who've been institutionalized for decades. and into a delivery model that resembles what the rest of the country does.
Do you think this current county board is any more or less to blame than those who have come before? As you say, this has been an issue for, you know, not just the last year, but probably the last 30 years.
Yeah, I don't think it's an issue of blame. I spend a lot of time being asked about all sorts of policy differences I have with and we all have, you know, whether it's in the congressional level or city level or county level, state level, whatever. I mean, we all have differences. But the goal is not who wins, who loses. The goal isn't who gets a press conference. The goal is, in this case, decent, respectful care with dignity. Lives that are as empowered and allow for as much freedom as we can provide. That's the only thing I'm looking at. And I'd rather apologize for getting there in a way that, you know, if somebody has an issue about, you know, how it looked or whatever, then apologize for being indifferent and not changing the care that we have now, because we can do better. And yes, we've got great people there, but it's not about fault or blame. It's just about, you know, stop looking for enemies and arguments and victories and start looking for solutions. And we've got one. And I just, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are frustrated that it's taken this long for this discussion to reach this level. But there will be a lot of people happy, I think, when we improve care. And I'm committed to doing that.
Let's move to the living wage ordinance passed by the county board. You have been sharply critical of the measure, which would set the minimum wage for county workers and contractors at $11.32 an hour. Have you decided whether you will veto it?
Well, as I've explained to the board, I support the federal minimum wage at $10.10. My concern has been this, that first, if you apply any wage mandate locally and you create, among other things, whether or not this is the goal, one impact is you create competition between us and, say, Waukesha and people that we shouldn't be competing with, we should be working together with. Second, I don't want to do anything at the county level that impedes our ability to deliver the other services that are crucial. So, for instance, applying it to family care, the people we serve with family care fall in that category of the most vulnerable that I take my responsibility to most seriously. And so the notion that all of a sudden we're going to have to come up with on about $5 million a year more in the absence of anybody telling me where, you know, you want to cut some bus routes or meal programs or fall back on, you know, parks maintenance, courts, DAs, everything's important. And, you know, it's not a game, I guess. And I've encouraged the supervisors, and I know some of them feel the same way. Look, nobody's pro-poverty. I've worked very hard to keep bus fares low, to lower them for paratransit, to add programming at the House of Correction. Within the services we are currently delivering at county, I've focused as much as I can to on every opportunity we have to empower people. But I've been doing it in a way that doesn't require cuts to other things. And I think sometimes we lose focus on the goal when we start talking about a tactic. And again, you know, I continue to support the federal minimum wage, but I don't think, as I've seen it, I don't think this is a good idea.
You stopped short, though, in that answer of saying yes or no to a veto, and at this point, you're just not ready to say?
Well, I'll probably veto it. My only hesitance is just that, you know, first, it may not be an issue because I understand another bill was introduced at the state level that may pertain to this and living wages generally, and just encourage that where they happen, they're statewide, which, you know, a statewide one I would also support. Secondly, the focus should be about not sort of what the disagreement is. You know, I hate even getting to veto. The reason in the course of this discussion I met with Supervisor Bowen, SEIU, Wisconsin Jobs Now, many of the groups that were involved in drafting it many times, and I said I would meet with absolutely anybody. In all cases, I said, look, here's the other things we're doing to address this that don't have costs. I didn't just say no. I said, look, if you can come up with a solution to address the issue that doesn't hurt our ability to, you know, keep buses running so people can get to their jobs and can get to school, great. Or join me in supporting Mike Lovell at UWM and getting more than 2/3 per student what UW-Madison does. And don't think that has doesn't have an impact on jobs. It does. But people weren't all that interested in it. They were sort of focused on this. And again, you know, nobody disagrees. We should all do everything we can to address poverty, but we should do it responsibly, and that means in a sustainable way.
Would you agree, though, that there are probably some county workers out there, many maybe, in fact, who at their current wage are having difficulty making ends meet?
Well, in the county, we've got 1 million people. We have about 4,400 employees. I think the number of county employees that would be impacted by in terms of the wage, an increased wage, is relatively small. I think it's a couple hundred, if that. But I can tell you that the current one would cost $5 million. That's not me. That's the comptroller, about $5 million a year to family care. And you know, I guess that to me, the question I'd ask is, why is everybody so ready to cost $5 million to a population that is easily as vulnerable as who they're trying to help with the living wage? And I'll just say it again. I support the federal minimum wage at any time. I've offered to the supervisors, hey, join me in supporting and advocating for that. Join me in, you know, a lot of the other programs we do that are proven, that absolutely impact, that empower, you know, I mean, all the alternative program we have at the House of Corrections, we never had before. We serve more people through child support, deliver more checks to more single parents than we ever did before. We've kept fares down for transit. We haven't cut routes. All of those things are real. They're what we do. They're responsible, a much larger scale, and they don't come at the cost of $5 million to family care. I guess my question is, if we actually care about addressing poverty, we approach it in the most sustainable way possible without costing the 1 million people in the county another $5 million.
One more topic. When we spoke last, I think it was the last time we spoke anyway, you made the point that the plan to shift responsibility for operating Milwaukee County Transit from MTS to MV Transportation was not changing but was just basically being delayed. Is that still the case?
Well, there's still an appeals process right now. Obviously, I remain enthusiastic about the MV, the selected vendor. I don't think there's anybody listening right now who know. I mean, I think we're all aware the state has cut our transit funding. So the funding we get from the state to provide bus routes and keep the fares low was cut. Some of it was restored. For that, I'm grateful. MV's proposal would allow us to put $15 million a year more into service. And to be very clear, the goal was never, hey, save us a bunch of money and it comes back to the house. It's save us $15 million a year, and that gets pushed back into more service, more routes, and keeping fares low. And, you know, people can have their own opinions about where MTS is now, but I get concerned when I was concerned with the $8 million extra we had to spend on a contract for paratransit that was mishandled. I get concerned when I see reports about, you know, stops being missed or drivers speeding or people relieving themselves on buses. Do we want to spend $15 million more to maintain that? Or do we want to give ourselves $15 million? And by the way, under a contract that protects the county more. All I can say is, like most decisions I make at the county, my focus is just about always trying to deliver the best value, the least risk, the most sustainable, highest quality service on everything we do. That's at least the goal going into everything. And I think most people would look at $15 million more per year for transit and feel pretty good about it.
There are some who have concerns that the contract wouldn't prevent MV from making major cuts to say, driver salaries at the expense of everything else. Are there guarantees that this contract could provide, or how do you answer the criticism that's been leveled about even the bidding process itself?
Sure. Well, most of the criticism, to be very clear, has come from the failed bidders. Contract letting 101 When you put out any kind of bid for contract, when people don't win the contract, not everybody behaves well. My goal isn't to make everybody happy. The people I have to make happy are you, taxpayers and the people who use the transit system. MV has said they will honor the ATU contracts. But just to be clear, that's, you know, whatever, a couple hundred drivers, and there's great people, no doubt about it. They've said they've honored their contracts. They've said and committed to sharing. There's the way the contract's structured, where they beat goals, there'd be profit sharing with the drivers. So that's something more than what the drivers had. But let's not lose sight of the fact that 36,000 people every day use the bus just to get to work. That's just to get to work. So 400 drivers get to keep, or whatever the, you know, a couple hundred drivers get to keep the salary they're at, potentially share in profit, and $15 million more in service. So if you're asking, am I focused on the $15 million more in service for the many, many, many thousands of riders every day? Yes, I am.
Well, Chris Abele, thanks so much.
Great to be on.
Chris Abele is Milwaukee County Executive. He spoke with Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke. Coming up next, Sheridan Park is celebrating its 100th birthday. WUWM's Susan Bentz takes us there next when Lake Effect returns. You're listening to us on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.